this morning with you. So this morning we're open to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6. So if you would open your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6. Let's pray for our time in God's Word this morning. Father, we pray that you will use your Spirit to open our hearts to your Word. We pray that you will help us to see ways in which you want us to obey you and glorify you with our lives. We pray that we'll be shaped into the image of Christ this morning as we read these words and we respond to them in obedience and worship. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as you know, we are expecting our first child, and we are super excited about that. Our baby girl will be born in January, so we're going to start the year with a new lifestyle. And when you think of someone bringing a child to this world, a child who is needy, who needs a lot of attention, a lot of help, in such a crazy world as is the world that we're living in today, it's obvious that this child will need godly parents. This child will need godly parents to guide them into how to glorify God in a world that is different, in a world that is, for the most part, in many ways, not glorifying God. And as you think about that, thinking about godly parents, being a godly mother, a godly father, what does that look like? What does it mean to be a godly father that a child can look up to, a child can use as an example? What does it mean to be that? Some of you may have had really good fathers. Some of you may have had a really good childhood with fathers who loved you, who helped you to glorify God in your life. Some of you may not have had great fathers. Some of you have had a hard childhood and fathers who may not have been the best fathers. And some of you may not even have had a father at all growing up. But as we open our Bibles this morning and we read about what it looks like to be the perfect father, who God is as our perfect father, we need to be careful that we won't let our life experiences with our fathers to corrupt our view of who God is to us as our father. In our passage today, Jesus will tell us who our God is as a father and what it looks like to be the perfect father. So let's read the passage in Matthew 6. We'll read verses 25 through 34. Matthew 6, verse 25. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they are? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet, I tell you, even Solomon, in all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. This passage is very familiar to most of us. It's a passage that reminds us of God's faithfulness in our lives as our Father. But this is a passage that we need to always go back to, because these are things that we often forget. Because Our lives are filled with worries. Worry about what we will eat, what we'll drink, what the future will be like. And worry blinds us. Worry blinds us to the truth that Jesus is speaking to us here. When Jesus says, "Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life." That's something that we need to be reminded of because we often tend to worry about our lives. And he starts this passage by saying, the first word that we see here is therefore. And every time that you start reading a passage and you see the word therefore, you need to ask a question. And the question is, what is it there for? Why is the word therefore there for? And the reason we see is the verse right before that, where Jesus says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." Jesus is talking about serving God and money, having a divided heart. And that is what causes worry in our lives. Worry comes from a heart that is not fully devoted to the Lord, but a heart that is concerned with money, a heart that is concerned with the temporary things of life more than with pleasing and worshiping the Lord. Jesus is talking about how the love of money, trusting money, relying on money is the root of worry for so many of us. Worry is a sign that you trust something more than you trust God. And even though it's hard for you to admit that to yourself, that is why your actions are showing. And if we trust God, we will learn not to worry. And as we read this passage, that helps us to trust God more. The world today is a place where it's easy to worry. We are entering a very tough financial situation. In the whole world today is entering that situation. But the ancient world, the world where Jesus was living, where he was speaking to, the situation was much worse than the situation today. As it is today, in many parts of the world, people are always living in a recession. They always have hunger and lack so many things. And that's the situation in the ancient world. Those people that Jesus was speaking to, they were lacking their basic necessities. We today, we may worry about the fact that we may not be able to eat what we like to eat, or drink what we like to drink, or dress the clothes that we like. They were worrying if they would be able to eat at all, if they would be able to find water, if they would be able to have clothes, if they would starve to death next week. They had those concerns. And if Jesus is telling those people who don't know if they will be alive next week, not to worry about tomorrow, do you think that this also speaks to us today? It certainly does. Jesus calls us to trust God and to not worry in our lives. Worry blinds us, like I said, to the reality that we can indeed trust God. But God's word opens our eyes to the truth that Jesus tells us of who God is. And as we read this passage today, I wanted to show you four things that this passage tells us to look at, to open our spiritual eyes to look at, so that worry won't blind us. The first thing that this passage is telling us to look at is to look at creation. On verse 26, it says, "Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Think about this. Birds are everywhere. Everywhere that you go, you will find birds. Like we were saying, I grew up in Brazil. And growing up, I grew up in the city in São Paulo. What kind of birds do you think I saw in the city almost every day? Pigeons everywhere. But then I moved to a smaller town in Brazil, around the jungles of Brazil. And then I got to see more birds. I got to see toucans and parrots just flying free in the wilderness. And that was so cool. And then I moved here to Indiana, and I got to see cardinals and even bald eagles a few times, blue jays, and all the beautiful birds that you get to see here. But one thing is the same everywhere I've lived. Birds are everywhere. And at some point, you forget about them. You get used to them because they're always there. So you don't even think about birds anymore. Who here is thinking about, oh, there are so many birds outside? No one is thinking that. Maybe you are, but most of us are not. But we don't notice them. They become invisible to us, worthless to us. But God cares about the birds. Our Father is not an absent Father who creates this world and abandons us and leaves us to our own devices. He is involved in every detail of his creation, even the birds. Matthew 10, 29 says, "Are not two sparrows sold for one penny? Yet one of them will fall to the ground apart from, not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father." In other words, if there is a little bird out there in the forest, in the jungle, in the Amazon, and this little bird falls dead to the ground, and no one sees that bird, God sees, and he cares. He cares about those little things that we don't care about. And he provides even for the birds. Am I saying that God feeds birds? Isn't that just something that happens in nature? Yes, God feeds the birds. He creates his worms and his berries and his bugs, and he gives them to the birds. And are you not of more value than birds? Think about this. If God cares about those little creatures that most of us, except for you, don't really care about, and he feeds them and he provides for them, how much more will he take care of you? Yet we deceive ourselves, and we think that God cares less about us than he cares about those little birds. We fear the future. We worry. We hoard toilet paper. Birds don't hoard toilet paper. We ignore the promises of God. We ignore the fact that God is a Father that will provide for tomorrow. We need to learn from the birds. And this is not an excuse for us to become lazy. Because even the birds, they wake up early in the morning and they look diligently for their food. And they do that because they trust God. They trust that if they work hard, God will be there and he will provide. And they don't have to worry about it. Looking at creation helps us to remember that God cares about the little things. And on verse 27, we see Jesus saying, "Which of you by worrying can add 1 hour to your life?" Jesus is saying, you cannot worry yourself into a longer life. And I think a lot of us try to do that. We figure out things in our life so that we can live longer. And Jesus is telling us, you cannot worry yourself into a longer life. It is proven that you can do the opposite. That worry, anxiety, and stress, they cause us several diseases that make our lives shorter. So if anything, you can only worry yourself into a shorter life. But we know that God has control over all those things. And worry doesn't do us any good. Worry is counterproductive. You face hardships in your life. You get sick. You get laid off. Your car breaks. And on top of that, you add worry. And that just makes things harder. And Jesus is calling us to not worry, to trust God. Let's look back at verse 28. Verse 28 says, "So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And I say to you that not even Solomon, in all his glory, was arrayed like one of these." The first comparison that we see here with the birds is a comparison of importance. What is more important, you or birds? You are more important than birds. And now the second comparison that we are seeing here that Jesus is making is a comparison of longevity. What lasts longer, flowers or your life? If your Father cares about something that lives for such a short time as a flower, Will he not care about your life? About your soul that is eternal? And then Jesus calls us to look at creation again. The clothing of King Solomon, one of the most wealthy kings that have ever existed, was not as beautiful as one of the flowers of God's fields. We don't have a lot of wild lilies here in Michigan or in Indiana, but we do have a lot of dandelions. And I think a lot of times dandelions get a bad reputation. I'm from the city, so when I see any kind of flower, I get really excited. I think it's amazing that your grass grows those little yellow things. I don't have that in the city. So that is, to me, I love it. But I know they have to cut them off. And they do get a bad reputation. Those little yellow flowers, they grow to dress your grass, and then you go with your mower and you cut them off. That's what we do with them. I'm not saying that you have to grow weeds in your garden, but the thing is, if God cares about little flowers, about even dandelions, that we definitely don't care about, if God cares about those little things that one day are growing on your grass and the next day you cut them off, how much more does he care about providing for your needs? Flowers grow and the next day they wither and they are cut off. Your soul is eternal. And Jesus wants us to look at those little things of creation to remind us that God cares about our lives as well, in a much greater way. And the second thing that we can look at is look to your Father. Look to your Father. In verse 31, let's look back at verse 31. Jesus says, "Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your Father knows that you need all these things." We have a Father, and he knows what we need. When I was a little boy, my parents didn't have to ask me to pay the bills or to earn a paycheck or to go buy groceries when I was like 5 years old, because that's not what you have 5 years old doing. And I had a father who took care of those things for me. And now that I will be a father, I'm not expecting my newborn girl to buy groceries for us or to earn a paycheck or to pay bills, to write checks to pay our bills. Actually, I don't even know how to write a check. I do everything online, so I wouldn't even be able to teach her to do that. But anyway, the point is, that's not what kids do. We don't expect little kids to do those things. That's what their fathers are there for. And even as I think about this, we have a little niece, and she is a joy. We love seeing her, spending time with her. But if we asked her to go to the grocery store and get groceries for us, it would be a disaster. It would not be a good idea. But that's how we act in our spiritual lives when we don't trust God. When we think that we are supposed to do the things that only God can do for us. When we expect to be the sole provider for everything around us. We need to remember that we are God's children. And he is our Father. And he promises that he will provide for our needs, that we shouldn't have to worry about those things in life because he will take care of us. So there is no reason for worry. And this passage tells us that worrying is something that pagans do, that people who don't have a father do. Because if you don't have a spiritual father, it makes sense for you to worry. It makes sense for you to worry about the future. So this is something that you have to think about. Are you really God's child? Or do you not have a spiritual father? If you are living for these lesser things, if you are living not for the glory of God, but for money and for worry, and that's what consumes your mind, you need to examine yourself and think, do I really have a spiritual father who is taking care of me? Do I surrender my life to God? And if you don't have a spiritual father, Jesus is able to connect you to this Father. Jesus is the only one who can give you access to God the Father. And when you trust Jesus' death, what he did to pay the price for our sins, When you trust that that is enough to save you, that he rose again from the dead to give you everlasting life. Instead of living for money, for worry, you can now live for God's glory. And that's something that all of us have to think about. Have we surrendered our lives to Christ to live our lives for God's glory so that we may have a Heavenly Father who will take care of us? And if you are a child of God, ask yourself, am I responding to my situations in life like I do have a Father who will provide? Or am I responding just like a pagan would respond to this? When things are hard and unsure, when I lose my job, when I'm sick, am I responding to this like a pagan or like a son or a daughter of God? Am I responding to this with fear and doubt or with peace and faith? Anxiety is worldly. Worry is worldly. It's something that pagans do. Why would we copy pagans? We need to copy Jesus and do what he's telling us to do. The third thing that he tells us here to look is to look for his kingdom, to look for God's kingdom. On verse 33, we read, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Seek first the kingdom of God, not worry. But how easy it is for us to do the opposite. When you're laying in bed at night, not being able to fall asleep, where are you taking your mind to? To the things that make you worry? To the things that make you anxious? Or to the things of God's kingdom? How do you do that? How do we pursue God's kingdom instead of worry? One of the ways that we do that is by pursuing God's word constantly. A lot of people have a hard time communicating with their fathers, with their earthly fathers. Maybe you have a dad who doesn't really speak that much and it's hard for you to have a communication with him. But our Heavenly Father loves to speak to you. He loves to communicate. And through his word, he speaks to us. And he wants us to listen to his words. He wants us to spend time with him, listening to what he has to say through his word. So spend time in God's word. Another way that we pursue God's kingdom is by serving. Serving with everything that we have. If God provides for all of your needs, how can you not use those things for his glory? Your health is not yours. It's God's. He can take it away with one doctor's appointment. How are you going to use that for his glory? Or your sickness. How are you going to use your sickness for God's kingdom? Your children, they are not yours. They belong to God. Are you going to raise them for your own glory? Or are you going to raise them for God's glory? Your time, your life, they don't belong to you, they belong to God. When we seek God's kingdom, we'll give him everything that he gives to us for his glory. Even the money that we think we owe, it doesn't belong to us, it belongs to God. And we need to learn how to glorify him with our money. Or the poverty that we have, the lack that we have, we need to learn how to glorify him, even with our poverty. How can we glorify God with all these things? That is the challenge that God is giving us. But when we serve him, when we give those things to him, and we live our lives for his glory, that is one of the things that will help us to pursue his kingdom, to seek his kingdom in our lives. If your greatest treasure is money, and there is a recession, you will worry. You will not want to use your money for God's glory, but you will worry because you fear to lose the thing that you love the most. But if your treasure is not money, if your greatest treasure is not your family, it's not your health, but God, you will trust God, and you will be generous, and you will Even if you have less than what you would like to have, because you know that you have a treasure, you will give even the little money that you have, not for you, because you know that this is not for you, but for God's glory. And you trust Him even with your last penny, because you know that you have a God who will provide. God will provide when we're generous with our giving. God will provide when we're generous with our time, serving our church family, serving our families. God will provide, despite of the way we live our lives. He will always provide. All you need today and all you will need for the future, it will all be provided to you. Till the day that God has appointed for you to enter eternity, He will sustain you. Can you trust this? Can you rest in this? The fourth thing that we look at in this passage is to look at God's provision today, but also to trust Him for tomorrow. Let's look back at verse 34. Verse 34 says, "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." And what this verse is telling us is that we shouldn't push our fears into the future. Some of us, we love the sin of worry so much that when we don't have enough to worry about today, we try to look for things to worry about tomorrow. We try to look for things in the future for us to worry about them. And we are not even there yet. How many of you guys know the hymn, "Great is Thy Faithfulness"? How many of you guys know that hymn? So that hymn comes from Lamentations 3, 22 and 23, that says, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new," finish it, "every morning." Why are they new every morning? Why is this verse saying that God's mercies are new every morning? The reason is because every day has enough trouble of its own. And you need new mercies for new troubles. Tomorrow's mercies that God will give you tomorrow, they are not for today's troubles. And tomorrow's troubles, they are not meant to be taken by today's mercies. Tomorrow you have new challenges, but God will give you new mercies. And when I think about this, it makes me think of my time in seminary. When I just started seminary, the first day of class, they gave us a ton of homework to do. And I thought it would be a good idea to do all of that homework in one day so that I wouldn't have to worry about it every day. And I tried to do that. And I was working on homework for an hour, for 2 hours, 5 hours, and I didn't even finish it. And I stayed the whole night up just working on homework, and I didn't even finish it. And then after that, I talked to my professors about it, and one of my professors was like, "What if you tried this? What if you just do a little bit of your homework every day, maybe for 30 minutes a day, for an hour a day? Try that and see how that goes." Did that, worked a lot better. But the thing is, a lot of times we try to take our whole lives in one day. We try to think about everything that could happen in our future in one day. We don't have the strength to do that. We need to live life the way that God has designed life to be. When God's people were wandering in the wilderness, the Israelites, God told them to trust Him. God told them to gather only the food that they needed for that day, and to trust that tomorrow He would provide food for tomorrow. And that's how we need to learn to live. That's how God has designed our lives to be. God designed life in a way that each day He will provide just enough strength for that day. No more, no less. So do not worry about tomorrow. You don't have the strength for tomorrow yet. When you get there, when you get to tomorrow, there will be more trouble, but there will be more strength for you to face them. And this is one of the promises that God has given us. And we can trust Him with this. When Bri and I think about trusting God with tomorrow, that really hits home for us. Recently, Bree's dad has been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, a very aggressive kind of cancer. And we don't know what tomorrow holds for us. And even my dad, he fell a few weeks ago, hit his head, and he passed away for hours. We didn't know if he would survive or not. And just a couple days ago, he had to do another surgery in his brain because he hasn't recovered yet. And he's fighting for his life. And we don't know what tomorrow holds for my dad or for Bree's dad. And that is something that is really hard. It's something that is really hard to think about. But the fact that we can trust God with our tomorrow gives us peace. Even when something so scary like cancer happens, or a head injury, or losing your job, even when something terrible happens, we have a Father who takes care of us every day, who has been here yesterday, has been here today, and will be here tomorrow, giving the strength that we'll need for tomorrow. But worry lies. Worry tells us that our Father cannot do anything about those things in our lives, that our future is not under control, that everything is just the way it is. But Jesus opens our eyes, and he speaks the truth to us, and he tells us that we do have a Father that loves us, who is taking care of us. The same way that he takes care of nature, in a better way that he takes care of nature, he's taking care of us. So look to him today and trust in him for tomorrow. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your promises. Promises from the lips of Jesus himself. Thank you that you've made us your children. That even though we don't deserve it, we are recipients of your promises. And Lord, help us to trust your promises. Not our money, not our jobs, not the things that we can do, but to trust you. Help us to trust your provision, not our health. Help us to seek your kingdom and not worry. And to know that every day you will provide the strength that we need to live a life for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.